Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be preaching from the Gospel reading today, particularly focusing in on verses 36 to 38 in Luke chapter 2, the account of Anna. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, send us your Holy Spirit and lead us to ever deeper faith in Jesus our Redeemer. We pray in his name. Amen. There's so many interesting people and groups of people in the Christmas story. From Zechariah and Elizabeth to Mary and Joseph to the shepherds and the angels to Herod and the wise men. I've found that considering each of these and their role in the events around the account of the birth of Christ is fruitful meditation. To think about what we can learn from the fact that each of them are there, why they're there, how we can be encouraged in faith as we see who they are, what they do, and most importantly, to see what God does for them and through them. And in our text today, we meet two more fascinating figures, Simeon and Anna. And today I'd like to spend our time focusing attention especially on Anna, often known as Anna the prophetess. Her role in this drama is really only a little cameo, just a few short verses. That's all we have about Anna. But there's some significant things there worth paying attention to. So as we do today, let's simply consider with Anna who she is, what she does, and why this matters. So who is Anna? Well, the first thing we learn about her here is that it says she was a prophet, or traditionally a prophetess. As you probably know, all of the major prophets in the Old Testament were men, but then there are also these women, such as Anna, who are given this title of a prophet or prophetess. So Anna is in the company of people like Deborah and Miriam, the daughters of Philip in the New Testament. This is worth paying attention to. The fact that in the Scriptures men and women serve alongside of each other in complementary ways. Now the harder thing to work out here is what it actually means for Anna to be a prophetess. There's different ways of taking this, and so perhaps it could have something to do with her being married to a prophet before her husband died. Or could this be a general reference to her life of devotion at the temple that's described here? Or was it that she had some special gift of foreknowledge that she could speak particular words of God to God's people? It's hard to say. We don't get a lot of details. What is certainly clear in this text is that she does speak very clearly about this child, about Jesus the Redeemer. And so we'll come back to that later on. That's the first thing we learn, is that she's a prophetess. Then the next detail is that she's a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And what's interesting about that is that the tribe of Asher was one of those 10 northern tribes that were carried off by the Assyrians, never to be seen again. They're sometimes known as the lost tribes, those 10 northern tribes. And yet here we are, hundreds and hundreds of years later, and we meet a faithful woman from the tribe of Asher. And so it seems that even in those tribes who were destroyed, more or less, that even there was a faithful remnant preserved by God. Not to mention some sort of migration too, because here's Anna from this northern tribe. She finds herself down in Jerusalem in the temple at the time of Jesus. But then it's these last bits of biographical information I want to focus on a bit more. And that's where we learn this, that Anna lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. Just think about this for Anna. It seems she had some tragedy early in her life. Her husband died when she was only a young woman, perhaps only in her early 20s. And she was a widow then. She was a single person, and by the time of this account, she was quite elderly. Our text says that she was 84. It's even possible to translate the Greek that this was 84 years later, which would make her perhaps more around the age of 100. I think these little details are worth thinking about, particularly how Anna can encourage us. First, let's just think about the fact of her age. Don't we live in a time when there's something nearing an obsession with youth, where people always want to look younger, act younger, feel younger? One of the consequences of this can be that sometimes the elderly are neglected or looked down on. But I'd suggest that the scriptures present us a different way of approaching old age. And Anna is a part of this, where we see that the elderly are important to God, that God continues to bless and work through older people. Just consider a few other passages. The book of Leviticus counsels us to rise in the presence of the aged, to defer to the elderly. And by the way, the word for aged there is a grey head, quite literally. The book of Proverbs says, "Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother who is old." Job says, "Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days." But it's not only that younger people are to honour older people in God's family. As I said before, this text also encourages older people as they see how God continues to be at work through them, to bless them, just like he did with Anna. And I know in my own life, I've received tremendous blessings through my conversations and relationships with older Christians. And this text is a good reminder of that reality. I think it's also worth considering the fact that Anna was single for most of her life, that she was a widow. We're not told why she did not remarry, but the text certainly does not say that she does not criticize her for not doing that. She's held up as a positive example. This is worth us considering because the single life can have its challenges as well, can't it? Some of you know that Christmas can often be a difficult time for single people for various reasons. And in the life of the church, there can be challenges as well for those leading a single life. Because in the Christian church, we rightly want to honour family. We want to emphasise that children are a gift and a blessing from God. But sometimes that can happen to such an extent that those leading a single life can struggle to know how to find their place. The scriptures, again, give us a different way of looking at things, where the single life is held up to us as an important and dignified calling. Jesus was single. The Apostle Paul was single. And while holding up marriage as a foundational institution of God's creation, the New Testament at the same time can speak of singleness as a gift from God. So it's worth pausing to consider Anna, the faithful elderly widow, and especially how her example can encourage others whose vocations in life overlap with hers. That's who Anna is, but let's develop this a bit more in our next point as we consider what Anna does. This is how the text goes on. Anna never left the temple, but worship there with fasting and prayer night and day. I can't help but think of verses from the Psalms when I read about Anna, where, for example, the psalmist speaks to God about loving to be in your house, longing for the courts of the Lord. and especially Psalm 92, where we read this: "The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They still bear fruit in old age." Here's Anna, planted in the house of the Lord all those years, now bearing fruit in her old age. And how does she do this? What does she actually do at the temple? Well, it says she was worshipping there with fasting and prayer, which all go together. She worshipped or she served, she devoted herself to God, and what shape did this take? Well, fasting and prayer. In the Bible, these often go together. Fasting is almost like a bodily prayer, and fasting can focus and enhance our prayers. And so Anna is held up to the people of God as an extraordinary example of devotion to God. What she does is worth paying attention to, because in my experience, the world around us will give us no encouragement in this sort of life. Many people would in fact look at someone like Anna and say, surely that was a bit of a waste of time. I mean, shouldn't Anna have got out into the real world and done something really useful? Sometimes we can feel like that ourselves even, perhaps. And so it seems to me that we have here a God-given corrective to that sort of thinking. Anna spent all her time at the temple fasting and praying, and this is given to us as a godly example. Not that everyone is called to that sort of life. Presumably, Anna never had children, or they were by now grown up and could take care of themselves, because Luther suggested that it would not be a godly thing for someone to spend all their life at the temple if that meant they were neglecting their family at home. But in the situation she finds herself in, an elderly person, a single person, she is able to do this. It makes me think of elderly people that I have talked to, and they sometimes feel like they don't have much energy to contribute to the life of the church anymore. And they say, well, I guess all I can do is pray. And I say to them, don't ever say that. It's never all I can do is pray. Prayer is the first thing, the most important thing. And it can be that in certain times of life, we are free to spend more time in prayer, in devotion to God. It's worth noting too that this is a theme that comes up a few times in the scriptures in connection with the single life. So for example, Jesus speaks of the single life. The term he uses is eunuchs. And there he says that for some people this is for the sake of the kingdom. And the Apostle Paul too in 1 Corinthians. He talks about how the unmarried man and woman is anxious about the affairs of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man or woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife or her husband. Now remember, both Jesus and Paul teach marriage as a good gift from God. But at the very same time, they can speak of particular blessings and gifts associated with the single life, and one of them is that this can be an opportunity for greater devotion and service to God. And let me tell you, in my experience, I have been tremendously blessed by those faithful Christian people leading a single life who do see this opportunity, who do serve in all sorts of ways with that little bit more freedom they may have. And if you are in that station in life, I encourage you to see this as a possibility for you, that God may be able to bless others around you through your service, your devotion to God. So we looked at who Anna was. Then we looked at what she did. But finally, let's ask the question why all this matters. There's Anna, worshipping God day and night with fasting and prayer. What was she praying for? We're not actually told explicitly, are we? But the next verse gives us a fairly strong indication. It says, at that moment, Anna came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption. That's what Anna had been praying for. Just like Simeon, she was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, the consolation of Israel, waiting and praying for God's Messiah to come and save his people. Ultimately, it's the child, Jesus, and what God has done for us in him, he's the reason that all of this matters. Yes, Anna is an example of devotion to God, of prayer and fasting. And yes, Anna can bring particular encouragement to people in particular stations in life. But all of that means nothing without a Redeemer. Jesus is what's most important. That in this little child brought to the temple by his parents, Mary and Joseph, God has come to Anna. God has come to Simeon. God has come to you in Jesus. Anna spoke of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption, that's what this child brings. We're in that holiday time of the year, aren't we, when some of us tend to watch a few more movies than normal. And one of the common plot lines in movies is to have a character in need of redemption. A character whose life hasn't quite turned out right. A character who's sometimes even gone off the rails. A character who's trapped in some dark place in life, and the unfolding of the movie is about that character finding some form of redemption. Well, the Christian drama is one where we are all that character in need of redemption. And Jesus is the one who brings it. Can you imagine this moment for Simeon and Anna? Simeon, who had this special revelation that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Anna, who was continually in the temple praying day and night for the Messiah, praying for this redemption for who knows how long, perhaps for decades and decades. And then here is this moment when they see this child Jesus and they know God is faithful. God has come to his people. Redemption is here. Dear friends, God is faithful. He has not left you in the slavery of your sin in need of redemption, but he has sent your Redeemer. How? Well, notice the words of Simeon's mysterious blessing. He says that this comes through a sign that is opposed. He says that for his mother Mary, she will experience this redemption first as a piercing sword in her soul. In other words, the cross casts its shadow over Jesus' life all the way back to his infancy. Here's Mary and Joseph. They finish everything required by the law up until this point, but those requirements of the law will mean the sacrifice of Jesus' life for us. The once-for-all sacrifice to redeem us. And this is summed up best by St. Paul in our second reading today. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Today we rejoice that little Alexander too has received that adoption as a child of God. So who was Anna? She was an elderly widow, a prophetess. She can remind us of the importance of the older generations in the church today. What did she do? She fasted and prayed at the temple night and day. She's held up to us as an extraordinary example of devotion to God. She can encourage those who are in stations in life where they too may be free for these sorts of things. Why does this all matter? Because it leads us to Jesus, the Redeemer. In His name, Amen.